Turning this evening to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 58. Genesis 24 and verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. Well, friends, this is the question that was put to Rebekah. Will you go with Abraham's servant? Will you leave home? Will you journey to that far, far distant place to marry this man, Isaac, this man you've never seen before in your whole life, this man that this servant is telling you of? Will you venture everything to go and to be married to him? And Rebekah's answer is in the affirmative. Without any hesitation, she says, I will go. I will go. And she'd only just heard about Isaac. Just the day before, there's no time for any courtship. There's no time to find out more information about him. This is all that she knew. Just not even a day's worth, maybe, of information about him. And here, this servant, having just arrived on the scene, and immediately she is put on the spot. Will you go with this man? I will go. Here's this offer of marriage. A marriage proposal. The servant, Abraham's servant, is offering it on behalf of his master. No pause on her part. No vacillation. No, let me think about it. No delay. Straight away, she says, this is an offer. I'm sure she thought to herself already in that short time, this is an offer that's just too good to turn down. This is an offer that I cannot pass by. It may never come my way again. I must grab a hold of it while I can. And that's what she does. She immediately is willing to go. I will go. I consent. Friends, this is what we're thinking of this evening. The offer of salvation. The call of God, something better than a marriage proposal. The call of God to the souls of men and women to be united to Jesus Christ, to be reconciled to God through him. This is the call that comes to us. This is the offer that God places on the table, as it were, before us. And he puts the question to us, to you and to me, will you go? Will you go with Christ? Will you go to be his? Will you consent to be the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you consent to leave this world? Will you consent to leave sin behind and to have Christ, which is much better? Will you accept the offer? This is what we're thinking of this evening. Well, let me just give you a little bit of the background again. We read it, but Abraham, he called his servant, he commissions his servant, sends him on this very, very important task. Eliezer, you must go to Canaan. You must leave Canaan, you must go to Mesopotamia, my home country where I came from, where God first called me. My family is still there, and I want you to go and to seek for a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant went, and along the way he begged of God to direct him to make his way successful and prosperous. And the Lord very quickly answered his prayer. For as soon as he arrived in Mesopotamia, the very first woman he came across was Rebekah. And he met Rebekah providentially. We read the whole story in Genesis 24. But he met Rebekah providentially there at the well, and then discovers that she is indeed from Abraham's, a relative of Abraham, even his brother's family, and he's left wondering. He's lost for words. The very first woman that he comes across, this can't be by chance. This is something he's prayed for, but this is a divine appointment, a divine arrangement, and he's thrilled already to see it, and he worships the Lord. Well, Rebekah's brother hears about it, Laban, he runs out to meet this man who's put gold earrings on the ears of his sister and golden bracelets upon her hands. He was that kind of a mercenary man, really, we find out later. And he ran to meet the servant, invited him to the house, and the servant agrees to go and to stay the night. But before they have that meal, before he eats anything, he has to unburden his heart. He has to tell the reason why he's come. This is my errand. This is why I've come from such a great distance. I've come to take a wife for my son, Isaac. And then he relates how the Lord providentially brought him into contact with Rebecca and all that happened at the well. And when the family heard it, they said, "Well, this thing proceeded from the Lord. It's all a divine arrangement. We can see it. It's so clear. It's so obvious. God is in this," they said, "and we cannot stand in the way. Take Rebecca and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife." So soon they also are persuaded that this is God's will for them. Eliezer, he is delighted. He's delighted that so soon his mission is now fulfilled. And he went to bed a very happy man. But the next morning, he wants to get back home. He wants to get, his mission is accomplished. There's no reason for him to linger any longer. So he says, "Send me away to my master." But verse 55, we read that the brother, Laban, and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. And after that, she shall go." And the servant said, "Well, don't hinder me. I've come thus far. Let me go." And so they called Rebecca. "Let's see what Rebecca wants to do." And so they called Rebecca and they put this question to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So friends, that's the background. But let's think about it for ourselves and apply this to our lives. The offer here presented to Rebecca was a marriage proposal to be joined to another man, to be joined to Isaac in marriage. The offer presented to you and to us is to be joined to Christ. This is what the offer is, to be brought into a close and personal relationship with Christ, to be brought into a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. This is what the Lord offers to each and every one of us, to know His love in a very personal way, to be under the care, His care, to know His protection, to know His guidance in life, to have a constant sense of His love throughout all the days of our life. Oh, friends, this is the amazing offer that comes from heaven to us. It's an offer of salvation, an offer to be saved from all our sins, those sins that trouble us, those sins that annoy us, those sins that will bring us into condemnation before God, those sins for which we already, even now, are condemned of God. This is an offer of forgiveness for all our sins that we have ever committed and that we will ever commit while we are in this world. It's an offer to have a clear conscience, a conscience void of guilt. It's an offer to have a permanent home in heaven. Oh, friends, there's nothing like it, is there? Have you heard anything better? Have you heard a better offer than this? This is the offer that comes to us. It's an offer, and that's only half of it. There's a lot more to it than that, but we haven't got time to say all the blessings that come, that the Lord puts on the table before us. But it's an offer from God, from heaven, to you and to me. And look at the manner in which Rebecca first heard of this offer. It was not a coincidence that she first heard of these things. It was not lucky that she was at the well at that particular time. It was not that she was just in the right place at the right time. "Oh, you're so lucky. If only I had been there before you, it would have happened to me," perhaps another girl might have said. No, friends, it was nothing by chance. It was something that was all arranged intricately by the Lord. He wove all those seemingly insignificant situations and circumstances, wove them all together to bring about, to bring Rebekah to the well at that time, and at exactly the same time as that the servant had arrived at the well with his entourage and the camels and so on, and the very first person that he was to meet was Rebekah. All this is not luck or chance. This was something arranged by the Lord, arranged by heaven. Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard the offer that's come from heaven? Of course you have. You've heard of it. You're aware of it. How did you hear it? By chance? Was it by luck? You just happened to hear it? It may seem like that, but really, friends, God is behind it. God is behind these things. God has so arranged your circumstances, even in intricate details, small, seemingly insignificant details. He has so arranged it that he has brought you into contact with a person or with a church so that you could hear the gospel and this good news and this offer that comes from heaven, so that you can hear it firsthand and know that here is something for you. It's arranged by God. I heard of a young woman, and she was interested in architecture. And one day she was, I'm not sure exactly where it was, but she was walking along the street and she came across a church. And being interested in architecture, she stopped and began to admire the church building and so on. And it just happened to be that there was a service on at that time. And she said, I'll go in, and I want to see the inside of the church and what it's like there. So she went in to the church, and it just happened to be that there was the preacher was preaching the gospel at that time. And for the first time in her life, she heard the gospel. And you know what? She was converted that very night. She heard the offer of salvation. She heard about Christ dying for sinners. She received the message there and then. Chance? No, it is the Lord arranging things. Oh, I know of a number of people who've come to this country for study or for work or to live here perhaps. And that's their intention, that's their objective, to come for that particular person. But when they came here, God had other purposes for them. And they were brought here for what reason? Really, that they heard the gospel and they got saved, and perhaps they stayed here, or perhaps they went back home to their country. But God had arranged even their coming to this land. This is something that the Lord does. Such small details, it seems. Yes, even in such small things, it's not by chance. God is behind it. If you've heard the gospel, and you have, it's like God dealing with you in a very personal way. Now the question on Rebekah's mind when this question was put to her, will you go with this man? She may well have thought, well, I don't even know the man. I hardly know him. But this Isaac, I've never seen him before. How can I leave all that I'm familiar with? How can I leave my family and my surroundings? I've grown up in Mesopotamia. I know where everything is. And now I have to leave all these things, all my family, all my friends, and the other tasks that I'm doing, and go to this place and be joined to this person in marriage. Is Isaac even a real person? Can I really believe what this servant is saying? That would have been a thought on her mind. Well, the servant, he anticipated that this would be her thought and her reaction, her concern, and that's why he came loaded, we may say. He came with loads of gifts to present and to show and to demonstrate. We read that he came with 10 camels instead of just the one, and with many attendants with him. He came with gold and silver as presents, and raiment as well to give, we read, to the family. And he's saying, as it were, here is proof. Here is proof of the greatness of my master and of his son Isaac. Here is proof that what I'm saying is true and valid, and you can trust what I'm saying. And so she was helped in this way to go with the man. And that might be the question on your mind, friends, as you hear the gospel, and you may say, well, is this for real? Can I really believe these things? They seem so far-fetched. You're talking about me having a personal relationship with God. Is that really possible? You're talking about me and the Lord Jesus having a personal relationship. I've heard of Jesus. I know he's a historical figure, but you're telling me he's much more than that? You're telling me I can know him? I can walk with him? I can have him as my personal friend in life? I can have him as my personal savior? You're telling me that he is the savior of sinners and he has the power to cleanse me from all my sin? You're telling me that he is the Son of God and he has the power to change my life completely, to turn it right around? Can I really believe all these things? That he can give me new life? That he can give me spiritual life? Is that what you're saying? How can I be sure of these things? Well, friends, that we have also, we could say, God has anticipates us, the preacher, we anticipate you're going to be thinking along these lines, and we have to say, yes, there is proof in abundance. We come to you with proof in abundance that what Christ has done, and that you can trust him and be assured. There's the testimony of God's word. You can open up the pages of Scripture and you can see for yourself historical people whose lives have been transformed as they turn to Jesus Christ. One moment they were one thing, when they met Christ, and after they met Christ, they were different people. They were changed people. They were forgiven and they lived in a new way. So many people, so many testimonies as proofs that what's happened in their lives, he can do it also in your life. There are many believers who are surrounding us, and we can each one tell you our own experience of Christ, that these things are true. We have found them to be true. We have proved them in our own lives. I can tell you about myself, and I know that when I was younger, well, one of the things that really troubled me in life was my conscience, a guilty conscience. I tried my best to get rid of a guilty conscience. I went to the Mass, and I brought up Roman Catholic. I tried to be a good person. I thought I was a good person, but alongside that, I still knew I was guilty. I still felt guilty. I went to the confession, and that I had temporary relief from confessing my sins to a priest, but very soon the guilt returns. What do? Can't get rid of it. Can't get rid of it. Try what I could. I couldn't. I struggled with guilt all my life until, friends, I met the Lord Jesus Christ, until his blood washed away all my sins and gave me a clean and clear conscience. Only then my guilt was completely taken away, because I believed in him who took it on my behalf. Oh, friends, do you need proof? You need proof? The cross of Jesus Christ is proof. You need proof that God loves you? There is proof indeed. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, humbling himself, coming from heaven, taking that human body, going all the way to that cruel cross, that shameful death that he died. Why did he do it? As a proof of his love, his sacrifice of himself, taking upon himself the penalty of sins for all those who will trust in his name. All the punishment that ought to have fallen upon me fell upon his dear head as proof of his mighty love. That if I trust in him, he also will take away my sin. Oh, friend, testimonies abound. By these, the Lord woos us to himself, draws us to himself. Do you see it, friends? But then we read about Rebekah's brother and father. When they heard these things, they said, when they heard the offer, and as they saw the Lord's hand and all the arrangements, and even though it was just a day, they said, take her and go. But then the following day, brother and mother changed their mind. Stay longer with us, they said, and then go. Verse 55, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. Well, that sounds quite reasonable, isn't it? After all, they're not going to see her again. It sounds quite reasonable, just 10 days. But after 10 days, they will probably say, oh, let it be another 10 days. And then after those 10 days, let it be another 10 days. Laban was like that. We see him acting that way later on in Genesis. But stay with us longer. Friends, the offer of salvation is before you. You can have peace with God. But there are forces at work to keep you from accepting that offer. They may not come in a hostile way, but there are forces even there which are trying to prevent you from accepting this offer and coming to Christ. It may be your father and mother. It may be a close relative. And you tell them you want to believe, you want to become a Christian. And they say, oh, you're turning to religion? That's good. That's good. You want to be a Christian? That's good. But, well, we're behind you in this. But why don't you leave it to a little bit later? Why don't you stay with us longer? Don't become a Christian just yet. You're our little Johnny. Stay our little Johnny. You know, just for a little bit longer. And when you mature, when you're past your exams, and when you settle down in life, oh, then you can, believe in the Lord. Then you can become a Christian. You don't have to do it now. Stay a bit longer. Or perhaps it's your friends. Perhaps friends, not your good friends, but perhaps it's friends who are ones who entice you into sin. It's friends who you've been with, and they've been teaching you and encouraging you in the wrong way. And suddenly you say, well, I'm going to church now. And they say, well, yeah, you're going to church. Oh, yeah, that's good for you. But don't become too serious. Don't become too serious about all these things. Go to church, but don't take it too much to heart. You know, stay with us. We're your friends. We're your pals. We have fun together. Don't spoil the party now. If you become a Christian, you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. You know, you won't run with us to the same degree of sin as before. Stay with us a bit longer. Let's have your presence. Come on. We love you. This is the subtle way, friends, that things, you'll be kept from the Lord. Rebekah then has to be called. And a question is put to her directly. Rebekah, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. What will her reply be? All eyes are upon her. Rebekah, will you go with this man? No response is not an option. You have to say yay or nay, accept or reject. You cannot be silent. And she doesn't take long to accept. She cannot reject this offer. It's too good. It's too wonderful to turn down. And she immediately replies, I will go. Oh, friends, once again, I tell you, this offer of salvation is put to you. Take it for yourself. Don't think about the person next to you. It's put to you. And I ask you, will you go with Christ? Will you be his? Will you be his or will you not? What do you say? Give me an answer to take back to my master. What will you do, friends? Will you forsake all others to cleave only to him? Will you take Christ to be your savior? What's your answer, friends? No response is not an option. Either I accept or I reject. Why did Rebekah accept the offer? Why did she do it? Why was she willing to leave everything that she was familiar with and go with this man? Oh, she believed it. She believed what the servant was saying. She had faith. She had faith. She never laid eyes on Isaac, never knew how handsome or not he was, but she believed in him, all the things that the servant had said. She never seen the inheritance that he'd spoken about, yet she believed the testimony of this servant. So I call on you as well. Friends, believe the word of God. Believe the testimony of Scripture. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the things that God has written in his word. And you will find it to be true. You know, when the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, when he went to Corinth in Achaia, and which is now modern-day Greece, and he went there, and most of the people there, probably hardly anyone had heard about the name of Christ and the name of Jesus. And when he went there, he found that there were all sorts of sinful and wicked people. It was an immoral place that he went to. Some of them were adulterers. Some of them were idolaters. Some were fornicators. Some of them were homosexuals. Some were drunkards. Some were covetous. There were all these sinful kinds of people found in that city. And he went there and he began to preach the gospel to them. And he began to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began to preach the cross and forgiveness through this Savior, this crucified Savior. And the people heard, and the people believed what Paul was saying. They believed the message. They believed the testimony. And their lives were completely changed. God forgave them, God cleansed them, God gave them a new life as they turned to the Lord. They had faith in that Christ that Paul was preaching about. And it's the same with every believer. We've all come by believing the testimony about God, which God has given, the testimony about Jesus Christ. We haven't seen Christ. We don't know what he looks like physically. But it doesn't really matter because we've heard about him and we know who he is. We know what he has done and we have believed in him and he has saved each and every one who has. They found forgiveness at Corinth, acceptance with God and a new life. And so is every believer who has believed that testimony. This is what you need to do, friends. To believe in Christ. This is what we call on you. When you accept, you say, I will go. You're saying that, I believe all these things are true. Oh, friends, why reject this offer? Why reject this offer from God? Are you better off on your own? Are you better off without a Savior? Can you afford to stand before God on the day of judgment on your own? Without a Savior by your side to speak for you, to stand for you, to be there for you? Can you take that gigantic step into eternity without the righteousness of Christ? Are you prepared to go into eternity, to face the Lord, clothed in your own righteousness, which are full of holes, and already God has told us is unacceptable in his sight? Oh, friends, what a risk to take. What a risk to take. Can you afford to reject the righteousness of Christ that he offers now to you? Oh, friends, don't do that. Don't turn down this offer. Receive it. Rebecca received it and found everything that the servant had said to be true. We read at the end that Isaac loved her. You come to Christ. He sets his love upon you. He will be with you. He will be your God and he will be your Savior forever. He will never let you go. You will have that sense of his favor and of his love throughout your life and into eternity. What an offer, friends. Don't turn it down. Come to him even tonight. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we again thank you for your kindness and condescension, Lord, even to speak to us, to so arrange things that we may have this offer presented to us. And Lord, we would look past people and we would see and receive it even as from your hands. And we thank you for it, and we pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us here who perhaps haven't as yet come to the Savior. Lord, that even today we may come to you and give our hearts and our lives so willingly and so gladly to you, our God. Lord, work in us these things and bless us each one. We ask in Christ's precious name. Amen. Let's close by singing our final hymn, which is number 415. Thou great mysterious God unknown, 415.